With the April 15th personal income tax deadline just a few months away, I wanted to talk about a few changes for 2017 and remind you of a few other tax breaks that you should use to reduce your tax burden. It's a good list, so let's get started with new or improved tax breaks for 2017. Now, many of you have probably never heard of this, but there is a new type of account called an ABLE account. ABLE is short for Achieving a Better Life Experience, and it offers tax advantage opportunities for disabled people and their families. It helps them save and pay for expenses related to disability. Now, although ABLE account legislation was passed in 2014, these specialized accounts only became available for us to generally use in 2016, so it's brand new. Here's what's allowed. Anyone, including a family member or a friend of a disabled person, can contribute up to $14,000 to an ABLE account without having to pay a gift tax. And earnings and distributions are tax-free when they're used to pay for qualified disability expenses such as housing, education, transportation, health, prevention and wellness, employment training and support, assistive technology, and personal support services. These accounts offer state and federal tax advantages as well, because in addition, the first $100,000 in an ABLE account does not count as income or assets when disabled individuals try to qualify for public assistance programs. Now, although only 9 states currently have ABLE programs, you can open an account or contribute to one in a state other than your own. So, if you know someone with a disability, talk to them about this new ABLE account. It's a good initiative and a great way to financially support those in need, such as, say, our disabled veterans or near and dear ones. All right, also, there will be higher tax thresholds. You'll be happy to know that the IRS raised its tax thresholds for 2016, so you'll likely pay a little bit lower percentage of your wages towards taxes if you earned more last year than you did in 2015. For example, if you're a married couple filing jointly and you have joint income of $74,900, that would have put you in the 25% tax bracket in 2015. But for 2016, you can make $75,300 to be in a 25% tax bracket. I know it's just a difference of $400, but heck, every dollar matters. So be sure to check those tax tables at the back and see what the tax bracket is for you in 2016. Now, do you remember the Earned Income Tax Credit? It's something that came up a lot in the presidential debates in 2016. And so here's the deal. If you have low or moderate income, you might qualify for the Federal Earned Income Credit, or EIC. The income-based credit is for everyone if you qualify. The maximum credit for 2016 is $6,269, and that's only for filers with 3 or more qualifying children. So that's a $27 increase from the 2015 figure. So it's a little bit, but it's important that if you do qualify that you grab this because it's very valuable. So if you qualify, definitely take advantage of filling out the Schedule EIC and attaching it to your tax returns if you have a qualifying child and meet the income requirement. Okay, now here's a reminder of the tax breaks that every first home buyer should know. Well, how about the home mortgage interest deduction? As most of you know, mortgage interest deduction is one of the biggest home tax breaks. It covers interest paid on loans up to $1 million loan or $500,000 if you're married and filing a separate return. And the deduction can be especially beneficial to borrowers with new loans because the interest charges on mortgages are typically steeper in the early years of the mortgage's term. You know, you're really paying almost all interest first and just a tiny little bit of principal, especially at the beginning of a 30-year mortgage. So since it's almost most of your payment is going to be interest, most of your payment is going to be available for the deduction. To take this deduction, you have to use Schedule A of your tax return. Claiming the mortgage interest deduction, of course, will save you tax dollars if your itemized deductions are greater than your standard deduction. And don't worry, you don't have to figure this out. Your loan provider should send you a Form 1098, which shows the amount of interest you paid the previous year. Also, there's a mortgage interest credit. Federal government's mortgage interest credit provides another opportunity for first-time homebuyers to claim a tax break for the mortgage interest they paid. Now, unlike a mortgage interest deduction, which reduces your taxable income and thereby reduces the taxes that you'd have to pay on that income, this mortgage interest credit directly counts against your tax bill. We love credits. Credits are way better than deductions. Both are pretty good, but always look for the credit because it's a direct reduction of your tax bill. So, depending on the purchase price of your home, you could get back 20 to 30% of the interest you pay every year in a straight tax credit. And there's a form 8396 from the IRS to get this. Go a little further about the deduction versus the credit idea. If you owe the IRS $1,000 in taxes, and say after completing the form 8396, it shows that you're eligible for an $800 credit, you just apply that credit to the $1,000 and you only owe $200 in taxes. So it's definitely something you want to look into. All right, as folks think of buying a home, one of their major concerns is having enough money for the down payment and closing costs. And a lot of you may not know, but the IRS says that you can pull funds from your IRA to help. So, first-time homebuyers who break into their IRAs to come up with a down payment don't have to pay the 10% penalty normally applied to withdrawals taken before age 59 and a half. And by the way, the first-time homebuyer status covers those who may have bought in the past but have not owned a home in 2 years. So, I don't know how it morphed from your absolute first-time homebuyer to not having purchased a home in 2 years. I think you have to thank Washington, D.C. for that little gift. So the IRS lets you withdraw up to $10,000 from your IRA without penalty to buy a home. Of course, remember, you'll have to pay the taxes on that money when you withdraw. And no, it does not apply to your 401k plan. You don't get the penalty waiver on the 401k plan. It's just your IRA. Remember also that you can deduct your property taxes. If you itemize deductions on Schedule A, you can deduct the real estate taxes paid on your primary residence for the year you're filing. That's so you don't pay taxes twice, and there's a law against paying taxes twice. Okay, you can also get some home improvement tax breaks. Improvements you make to a home can also qualify for a tax break, especially if you use a home equity line of credit or other loans secured by your home to finance the improvements. The loan will qualify with the same mortgage interest deduction as your main mortgage. And this is important. I urge you to keep track of all your home improvements, big and small, because they add to your cost basis when you sell. So if you bought a home for $500 and you're selling it for $1 million and you put $250,000 of home improvements in, you can add that $250,000 to the $500,000 that you paid. So now your cost basis is $750,000, and you'll only have to pay tax on the $250,000, which is the difference between your new adjusted cost basis and the sale of the home. So that's very, very cool. Okay, final thought. There's a lot of talk right now about lowering taxes, especially lowering taxes for the middle class. And who doesn't love the idea of keeping more money for yourself? But of course, few things in life are free. So expect to see some increases elsewhere. Where they're going to be, we don't really know. But they could be in the form of the elimination of certain deductions, like the mortgage interest deduction, or through an increase in the basic costs of goods. Not talking taxes here, just stuff you're buying in the store, due to the fact that there's a lot of talk about taxing goods that are imported from other countries. So that'll raise the price of those goods to us. So in a sense, it's not really a tax increase, but it's taking more money out of our pocket. Anyway, we don't really know what the final thing is going to be. We will have to wait and see.